Welcome, everyone. I'm Reba Sparrow, and today we're brewing up a potion of sexy and scary on a special Halloween episode of the Mystery Box Show podcast. Happy October, everyone. I call Halloween the Christmas of October because I love it so much. I have this aesthetic that my son has always called death and rainbows, meaning I really like kind of morbid, dark, gothic, quote, creepy, although I don't think they're creepy, things. And at the same time, those things bring me joy and happiness. And like, I'm the girl at the goth club who's smiling and dancing while everyone's looking down at their feet with evil faces. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just trying to give you a mental picture of my personality. So we want to keep that spirit here on the podcast with a story that definitely fits into the season of fright. This may be one of our most requested stories ever, and I'm excited to bring it to you today. A small content notification. This story has some pretty intense and potentially dangerous sexual expression. And although it's all set in a fantasy and negotiated situation, we wanted to make sure that listeners who are sensitive to sexual violence are taking care of yourselves emotionally. That being said, this is a really great story. Again, everything that happens in the story is consensual. In fact, the story, I will give you a little spoiler, is about consensual non-consent. And what's funny about this story, I actually knew this person long before they were a storyteller on our show, and I will tell you why, who, what, when, where, why, and how after their story. But for now, please enjoy this slightly frightening, slightly scary story from AJ Summerlee.
I had been in a fantasy rut for quite some time when I found myself crushing on a gentleman that I knew to be both pervy and creative. So I decided to just be bold, and I asked him straight up, "How do you feel about consensual non-consent?" So consensual non-consent is basically a form of role play that tends to involve taboo things, such as abduction or rape and things of that nature. However, in this format, all of the parties involved come together and talk about boundaries and limitations and how to go about creating this taboo scene in a way that's respectful and positive and enjoyable instead of traumatic. So there's a big difference between consensual non-consent and non-consent. So this was the good kind. And so I, how do you feel about that? And he responded with, "Well, I feel pretty good about it." So I'm like, cool. So I proceeded to tell him about a fantasy that I had had for about a decade where I am abducted and then sexually ravaged by my captor. And he thought that sounded like a lot of fun. So we took a couple of weeks and we met in person and we communicated online and via text to talk about the perimeters of creating a scene of that nature and to make sure that it happened safely and enjoyably. So he started asking me, "Well, you know, have you ever done anything like this before?" And I'd talked about stuff like that before, but I'd never had the opportunity to do it elaborately because it generally freaks a lot of people out. So we talked about my boundaries and the things I'm okay with. Like, I like having people use degrading language at me. Call me a slut, call me a whore, just don't call me ma'am. And I am comfortable with being spit on, but I don't want spit in my mouth. Furthermore, I don't want cum in my mouth, and please don't put anything in my butt. And so we were negotiating these kinds of limits so that he had an awareness of what boundaries he could push and how he could build this scene to accommodate me. And then we also discussed having a safe word just in case I really needed to stop this thing. So a safe word is an agreed upon word for all people that are involved in a scene that stands for stop right fucking now. And generally, you want to use a word that has no other business being involved in the scene. I just chose a simple red, because we associate red with stop, and this left me free to really immerse myself in the scene. You know, it's an abduction, violation, role play. I'm going to want, as a character, to say, oh, no, please stop, don't hurt me, and have him keep going, because it's the scene. But if I say red, it means fucking stop. So we collect ourselves with all these terms, and we decide it's time to plan the scene. So I've decided I'm going to play a character that's basically me, but maybe a little bit more naive and slightly more, you know, churchy. Just slightly. Slightly. Little bit. I'm a good person. And he is going to create a character that I will meet when our scene starts. So I pick an outfit that can be destroyed in its entirety. I'm talking down to, like, the bracelet I'm wearing. I want everything destroyed. And we pick a bar that we're going to meet at, and we're going to meet at the bar. And that is literally all I know. So the day comes, and I'm just Twitter-pated. I'm like, yeah, this is, whew, waiting a long time for this one. So I drive to our meeting place, and I park, and I send him a text, and I'm like, I made it. I'm here. My car is parked on this corner, and the rear passenger door is unlocked. You do with that information what you will. And then I go to get a whiskey, because I got some nerves going on, and I need to chill. So I'm waiting for the bartender to show up. I don't know where they were, but they were nowhere in sight. And as I'm waiting, I'm getting more, like, of that excited, anxious energy. And this random dude shows up, and it's like kind of like, oh, where's the bartender kind of thing, and starts just making small talk with me. And he tells me that he just moved here a couple weeks prior from Texas and was having a difficult time acclimating to, like, the PC culture of Portland. And, you know, typical small talk that I really didn't care much about. And then I realize that this weird Texas dude is my date. He is dressed in, like, a flannel shirt and some fucking trucker hat. He does not dress like that. And he definitely does not have a Texas accent. But this dude that he created sure did. I was just floored. I couldn't believe that he had deceived me. Like, I had no idea that this was him at first. But once I realized it, I'm like, oh, man, whew, there's no turning back now. So start trying to make some small talk with him. And then the bartender arrives, and this Texas guy offers to buy my drink. And I accept, and, you know, he tells me to have a nice day. And I'm like, cool. So I'm hanging out and drinking my drink. My brain's going all over the place. I'm, keep it cool. Got this. And then I notice him leave, which is my cue to wrap it up. So I finish my drink, and I walk out the door and go to my car. And as I'm putting my keys in the lock and opening my door, I feel someone rush up behind me, and I can feel a knife in my back. He had permission for that. And this hot breath whispering in my ear, if you make a sound, I will fucking kill you right here. Whew, boy, howdy. I was wet instantly. And I'm just like, all right. And he tells me to do exactly what he says, and I do exactly what he says. And at that moment, it was walk around the back of my car, get to the passenger side, and I am to climb through the passenger door and over the middle console into the driver's seat. Once I get seated, he takes the knife and he slides it up underneath the strap of my dress, and tells me, go exactly where I tell you to if you want to survive this, and cuts the strap of my dress. So I drive exactly where he tells me to. As we're on our way, we pass a sign for like advertising a sale for some business that said last days. And he gets this wild look in his eyes and goes, that's a good idea. Today seems like a great day for a last day. And I'm like, oh my God. Yes, it does. I mean, no. No. And the whole time we're in this car, he is just ranting at me, like nonsense, talking about what a filthy whore I am, how I need to be taught a lesson. He's like spewing Bible verses and shit. And he keeps calling me Celia, which has never been my name, ever. So I was like, this crazy Texas dude is fucking crazy. This is gonna be fun. So after we've driven for a while, he instructs me to pull over. And once again, I have to climb over the middle console and go out the passenger door so I can't just run away. And when I get to the door, he blindfolds me and starts helping me out of the car. And then he suddenly pulls me close and he's like, there are people walking nearby. Don't you dare make a sound. I will fucking kill you. Just bring it in on close. We're just hugging. I can feel this hot breath on my neck. We're just hugging. My entire body is like tingling. Like it is on fire with anticipation and sheer joy. Like this is, we haven't even started yet and I'm having a good time. And then I realize I have to pee so bad. But I don't want to stop this scene. And ultimately, like, yeah, my captor's just going to let me go to the bathroom. When it occurs to me that if I had actually been kidnapped, probably wouldn't be worrying about the best way to go to the bathroom. And so I said, fuck it. And I just peed all over myself. And he used that and started telling me how gross and filthy and disgusting I was and how I really did need to be taught a lesson. Maybe more than he originally thought. So he leads me blindfolded through this parking lot, and I can hear his key going into the lock at his front door. And I've never been inside of his apartment. I thought it would be more fun if I was in an unfamiliar territory. So he opens the door, and he puts his hand on my throat, and he leads me backwards through this strange new place. And I hear another door open, and he shoves me down on a mattress, rips the blindfold off, and leaves me alone in a room. I catch my breath, and I take a look at this new environment that's going to be like essentially my cell until this scene is over. And there are two dressers. One of them is covered in dildos and cuffs and like whips, and it's just like a smorgasbord of sex and BDSM. All right. The other one has a bunch of creepy dolls and skulls. And those really eerie monkeys with like the clapping cymbals. Like, that's never good when you see those. So I'm like, all right, Texas dude is more fucked up than I thought. Cool. And then I'm looking at the walls, and this motherfucker, I am not kidding, he wallpapered the entire room. And it's just like strips of like the, you know, that roll out like brown paper, but it's got stuff on it. And there are pictures of autopsies. There are pictures of women in no clothes or very little clothes, bound and gagged with things like slut and whore written on their bodies in red lipstick. And then more handwritten crazy fucking ramblings like the shit he was saying in the car. It's all just scrawled all over and more Celia. Like, this guy is clearly obsessed with whoever the fuck Celia is. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on with Texas, dude? And I try to get up so that I can kind of take in the room just a little bit more and see maybe where the exits are. And I realize that the mattress I'm on does not have sheets, but rather a big old piece of plastic covering it. And as I put my hand down so that I can stand up, I realize that I have just grabbed a hold of a severed finger. One of three. Granted, they're like just the Halloween prop fingers. Like, you know, they're not real. But for the purposes of this scene, they were real fingers. And they belonged to whoever, however many of them there were, whomever came before me. And my character is thinking, I gotta get the fuck out of here. This guy's nuts. So I'm trying to figure out, how can I escape this scenario? I clearly can't go through, like, the bedroom door. I don't know what this apartment layout is like. And for all I know, he's just standing out there, like, chewing tobacco or some shit. So I notice a window. And I don't know what's going on outside of it. And I've already had bad experiences just climbing out of windows before. So I'm not going to actually climb out the window, but maybe if I open it and hide in the closet, he'll think I've gone out the window. And then when he goes to look for me, I can sneak out behind him. But he came back in the room when I was only halfway in the closet. So this plan failed. And he just laughs at me, and I go to find, like, you know, a backup plan for my escape, and I pick up one of those creepy fucking monkeys, and I whack him with it, and I start trying to run away, but he's too fast, and he grabs me, so I bite his hand, and he just is, like, not having any of this, and he just throws me down on the mattress and climbs on top of me, just hovering there. And in his hot breath, he laughs, says, "You ain't going nowhere, Celia." Like, I'm not Celia. You know exactly who you are. You aren't going nowhere. Like, okay. Okay. Yes, I will do whatever you say. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves the room again. And I'm just left with myself, and I'm just trying to catch my breath. And I am dripping wet. Like, I'm about to be a gusher. And I'm like, this is pretty exciting. I wonder what's coming next. And almost like he was reading my mind, he comes back in the room and starts to play with my body using various implements. And those implements include things like an empty beer bottle, of all weird things, sandpaper. Whew, creepy but fun. And this knife, which I remember him taking it between my legs and using the back end, so it's not dangerous, to scoop up a bunch of my pussy juice and talk about how fucked up it was that I was remotely aroused and clearly I needed to be taught a lesson. Holy shit. So I'm having a great time, and I'm like, there's no way he can top what is happening already. Like, I don't. Like, it must be over already. And then he pulls out the jar. Now, it's a small jar. It's like just a couple inches tall, round jar. Seemingly innocuous. When I realize that inside of the jar is a live arachnid. I feel you. I also don't like spiders. Unfortunately, I had admitted that I really like mindfuckery, which is basically like psychological torture. And he was going for that one. So this spider in a jar is being dragged across my body. He's circling my nipples with it. He's sliding it down my stomach, and he proceeds to drag it down and back up between my labia. And when it comes back up, it's half slime. And he is just talking so much shit. What kind of a depraved slut would be turned on by a spider in a jar between their legs? This one. But then things get weird. And he starts twisting the lid of the jar. Now, a spider trapped inside of a jar is one thing. A spider on the outside of a jar is another thing entirely, and it's not good. And I just had that experience where I like, everything basically stops, slow motion-y, and I kind of feel myself leave my body. And I'm just kind of hovering in there, and I'm going over every single conversation that we had had leading up to this moment, trying to remember, did we talk about my limits regarding spiders on my naked body? I don't think I've ever needed to have that conversation before. And, you know, we talked about a lot of things that were elements of what was happening, but I don't think that actual live arachnids were ever discussed. This is possibly bad. And so I start then cycling through all of the possibilities that I conceived of happening if that jar opens. And the main conclusion I had was, this guy has been so thorough and so respectful with everything that matters to me and my emotional and physical safety that probably the worst case scenario is he's going to open the jar, a fucking creepy spider is going to be on my naked body, hopefully more in like this open chest area and not so much near the open vaginal area. And I would freak out and say red, and he would go from like, I'm this creepy Texas guy to, oh my God, I'm the sweetheart that you know, and I'm gonna kill this spider and cradle you, and everything's gonna be okay. So I'm like, cool, I think I've survived worse. I can probably handle that small amount of trauma. So I tunnel back inside my body, and I'm like, and he's just still sitting there, that crazy fucking look in his eye, twisting this lid. And I just wait, and I'm going to see how far he can take this and how far I can last. But he gets bored. So he sets the jar down, fortunately unopened. And he just climbs on top of me, and he inserts himself into me and proceeds to sexually ravage me. And I just can't anymore. Red, I shout. Red, please. Red would be great. And just as I thought, his face goes from like, I'm this crazy maniac, to, oh my God, what did I do? I never meant to hurt you. And he checks in with me, you know, how are you doing? What did I do? Are you okay? Are you hurt? And I'm like, nah, dude, I'm fine. I just feel like really cared about right now. You know, like, I've really wanted this fucked up scene where I'm being abducted and tortured and these terrible things are happening to me, and you put so much effort into it that, like, I'm having a hard time pretending to be afraid of you. I feel really loved and respected and seen right now, and you're fucking up my ability to be in character is really what's happening. So I ask him if we can hug it out, and he's like, yeah, and I cried a bit, and then I kind of bring myself together, and I'm like, cool, I want to finish this, but I legitimately am not going to be able to pretend to be afraid of you for very long, so we need to wrap it up. And he's like, cool. So we like high five back into the scene, and I'm like, no, please stop, don't hurt me. And he's just like, shut up, you stupid little slut, I'll do whatever the fuck I want, Celia. And he just fucks me until he's done fucking me. And then he looks at me with this crazed look, and he goes, you're just as disappointing as the last ones were. And he takes his knife, takes the back end of it, of course, and slides it across my throat, killing me and ending our scene. And then we spent the rest of the night cuddling. It really, truly was one of the hands down, I've had some good sex past then, but nothing is ever going to top this as far as role play goes. And it was just a really wonderful experience that I'm definitely never going to forget. And I just feel so grateful that I had the opportunity to meet and connect with someone with as fucked up and depraved fantasies as I have, who was willing to put so much effort and care and intention into a scene like that and make it so fucking amazing.
That was AJ Summerlee, everyone. Beautifully told, beautifully executed story. Love the twists and turns. And as promised, I was going to tell you how I know this person. So years ago, maybe 9 or 10 years ago, they were dating a person who I then dated. I believe, if I remember correctly, the person I was dating was in an open relationship. I was just dating around and this person was in an open relationship with AJ. I hope I got that correct. It was quite a while ago, so I can't quite remember. And so we met that way and we were like, interesting, we're very different people, but we have, I guess, the same, in this instance, the same taste in this one person. And then months go by and we discover that we have another shared partner. Like, nobody talked about this. We didn't plan this, you know, it just sort of happened. And I was like, wow, we really do have the same taste in sexual partners. There might have been one other one that we were interested in that we discovered later on. I can't quite remember all the details, but that's sort of like a running joke between the two of us before they were on our show. And it's of no surprise to me then that everything AJ talked about in this story resonates with me so hardcore as well. Confession time. I also have a kink around consensual non-consent and fantasy around kidnapping and rape and those sort of things. Not necessarily mindfuckery, but the rest of it, I was like, oh yes, this is a great story. I'm totally on board with this. Just goes to show you, you can be a very different person. We're all very different people, but when it comes down to it, there is more that connects us than what keeps us apart. Let us know what you thought about AJ's story. You can get in touch with us on Facebook, Instagram, or email. All of the links are at mysteryboxshow.com. You can support us by subscribing to this podcast, giving us a 5-star rating, and writing a review. It really helps us out. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/mysteryboxshow, where you can interact with us on an even more personal basis. Plus, special gifts when you become a patron with us. Our music comes from our friend Farnell Newton and the Other Ship Connection. Our audio engineer is Greg Keenan at Sound Minion Studios in Longmont, Colorado. Thanks to our production assistant, Nicole Perkins, my co-producer, Eric Scheuer. I'm your mistress of ceremonies, Reba Sparrow, reminding you to register to vote and then get out there and vote. Happy Halloween, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Mystery Box Show podcast.